Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, New York.
Good morning.
This is AM 1230 WFS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We got a lot to talk about today. Of course, there's the NFL. The 2013 Heisman Trophy was awarded last night, so we'll talk about that.
If you don't have a Twitter account, you need to get one because it's getting good. Last week, 2 weeks, it's been like high drama in the NFL, high drama in the NCAA, high drama with the Heisman Trophy, everything.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a lot about that stuff, and this is going to be a good – this could be a great day to call in because I want somebody to argue with me today. I'll come through the phone at you and wrap my hands around your pale neck and strangle you. I just took – listen, what I just did – can I tell everybody what I just did?
Sure.
To fire me up. And I, by the way, I have taken my medication this morning, Roy, Matt. You guys don't have to worry about any flying objects or anything. But I got to tell you something. What's his name? Jameis Winston?
Yeah.
He won the Heisman Trophy. He's a redshirt freshman. He's 19 years old. He's a great athlete. He's a great baseball player. He's
drafted
great,
by the Texas Rangers.
Great football player. He probably throws the ball 92, 93. He's got a great football arm. He seems like a nice kid. But there are certain things that you do and you don't do, okay? And one thing you don't do, being the father of two daughters, you don't – when a woman tells you, I don't want to do this in a sexual situation – you don't do it. You don't even think about doing it. You put it out of your mind. You turn on a record. You know, you try to settle down a little bit and get your testosterone level down. It's not something that just started. You know, this has been going on for years and years and years. And there was a time in this country where, back in the 1800s and early 1900s and even this day, I mean, if you read enough, and there's a lot of women being bought and sold in this country for prostitution. They pick young girls up everywhere. But this is a girl that's in college now. Imagine this, men. Your daughter, who's in high school now, gets accepted to Florida State University. Everybody wants to go to FSU that lives down there. I mean, they love that school. And a lot of people from outside the state of Florida like to go to Tallahassee because it's a great college town, just wonderful place to be. It's warm weather, whole nine yards. And your daughter calls you in the middle of the night. And, I started thinking about my daughter, Emily, with this because Emily was she's a big football fan. She was a football manager at Flint Hill School for 4 years on the varsity. She played softball. She's a great softball player, but she loved football. Anyway, I get a call in the middle of the night, and my daughter's crying and telling me she just got raped by some football player. Jameis Winston wouldn't have won the Heisman Trophy. I'd have broken his arm in 7 or 8 places with a bat first, and then I would have worked on his face. I don't care if he's 19 years old. He's an adult. And when a woman tells you no, find something else to do immediately. Besides putting her in a bathroom, locking the door, and then when you're done, telling her she can go now. But I'll give you a ride on my moped. Allegedly, this is what he said. And what I find impossible to believe, is that the Tallahassee Police Department never talked to Mr. Winston in a year. Now, they reported this immediately. Okay? I mean, right, Roy? That's what we've all read it. Tell me what you think, Roy, because I'm getting mad.
The timeline on this is, I feel like, is the key. It was reported back December of 2012. So this has been an open case for a very long time.
A year.
And Jameis Winston wasn't the Jameis Winston we know now when all of this occurred. You know, he was a practice squad quarterback and a baseball star. So all the people who are saying, oh, well, he was a Heisman Trophy winner, he's in the middle of a national championship. No, that was not the case 2012 December. So there's a lot of things that revolve around this, and I think the main key to me...
He got a lot better, didn't he?
Yeah, got a lot better.
And he became a very important integral part of their offense that was unbelievable all year. Mm-hmm. And look, no one's going to take away the fact this kid earned the Heisman Trophy. He did.
Right. No, he definitely did.
But he was left off how many ballots?
115 ballots.
That's a lot of ballots to be left off of. And mm-hmm. I'm guessing that out of those 115 ballots, a lot of those people have friends that maybe have been raped or, you know, been in a situation like that, or have a daughter that's that age, or have had daughters that age, mm-hmm. or maybe has granddaughters that age. You know, I don't know what to say.
I mean,
it makes me sick. I got a sick feeling in my stomach. This isn't O.J. Simpson. When O.J. Simpson won his Heisman in 69,
yeah,
he was, you know, he hadn't beat up or raped anybody that we're aware of, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he cut his wife's head off and the guy that she wasn't even having an affair with. I mean, you know, my point is that happened when he was in his late 40s, early 50s. And now he's doing extensive time for a lot lesser charge. Mm-hmm. But, you know, nobody feels sorry for him now.
No. The thing to me about this whole situation, which is the person who's in charge of the investigation comes out and he says that he doesn't believe that they have enough evidence to bring him forward and to make a conviction. He didn't say
the conviction was the. But you know what? Did you see the press conference?
I watched.
They were
of it,
laughing.
Yeah.
There was
he was making jokes. And
there was laughter there. Somebody should seriously.
I mean,
sue
very,
this guy
it was,
for
yeah,
just
it was
whatever.
Very,
you,
I mean, it was very unprofessional.
Well, it wasn't even
press conference, and the whole thing is just seems a bit off. If you don't think, I mean, if you have some evidence and you have a reasonable doubt that this guy might have done it, he should have gone to court and
let the court decide what happens.
The
to
guy
this
was
kid.
Playing judge. It seemed like is he wanted to bring him to court, or he wanted to make charges if he thought or that he knew that he was guilty. Not that if there was beyond a reasonable, you know, if he believed that there could be. Because that's what our judicial system is.
Do district attorneys, and I'm not an attorney, and I don't pretend to be one, but do district attorneys, are they elected? I think most of the time they are elected. Attorney generals of states mm-hmm. don't appoint district attorneys. And if they do, maybe that's the guy that should have been talked to, maybe his boss. Because in my opinion, maybe this guy's done a great job, but that press conference was a disgrace.
One thing
it
that,
was a disgrace.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that he did say is that he thought that they had done everything. He said, I think we did it. I think we've done everything, but if we haven't, we'll take another look at it. To me, it's that if this national championship, you know, the Heisman's over now, then the national championship's in about, a month away, something like that. If the national championship goes by and they reopen this case and they take another look at it, because to me, his statement that leaves the door wide open for something like that. And if he's clearly putting college football ahead of the possibility of this guy committing a crime, then there are bigger issues down in Florida than we already thought existed.
Well, you know, we all know that in places like Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and Tallahassee, Florida, and even Gainesville, Florida, and even Austin, Texas, that there really isn't anything bigger than the head football coach. He's the most powerful, maybe the highest paid person within 100 miles, unless it's an oil man or a cattle man or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, maybe football's getting too big. Football's already so big that a lot of men's sports have been taken out because of Title IX. Mm-hmm. Men's football has 85 full scholarships per year.
And
that's
out,
horse crap.
It came out yesterday that Patricia Carroll, who is the lawyer, she's seeking review. This came out yesterday.
Okay.
So this case is still open.
We'll talk about this a little bit later on. We got Cindy Bourne of the Washington Post is supposed to be calling in at 10:15. And she'll be on, and we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership on Bruce Hall. We'll be right back with Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and I've got Cindy Bourne of the Washington Post. Cindy, how are you?
Hello. I'm fine. How are you?
Hey, Liz, I'm doing great. Roy is, too. I went to a great party last night, so I'm in a great mood. Then I started thinking about the Heisman, and I got real upset. So, anyway.
What particularly upset you about it?
Just the fact that I've got two daughters, and if my daughter called me in the middle of the night and told me she got raped by a football player, I probably would have broken every bone in both of his arms, and he'd never worry about a Heisman. Something like that.
I mean, I was, you know, I want to give the kid the benefit of the doubt, but I was a little perturbed on yesterday to hear, you know, everybody sort of, you know, acting like it had been a big trial and tribulation for him to go through this.
Yeah, how tough.
And, you know, it's unfortunate. I don't think her lawyer came across particularly well in presenting her side of it on Friday. But, you know, it was...
You know, it's real important. I hope somebody with the Post, maybe you, you know, or Christine, or, I mean, you got such great lady writers at the Post. I mean, it's probably the best. As a matter of fact, I much prefer reading you guys than I do the males on there. Now, Mike Wise is a good friend of mine, and Mike is Mike, you know, and Wilbon's been gone a long time. He's just big leagued all of us, but you know, and Kornheiser's been gone for a while, but I got to tell you, you know, I picked up the paper. What day was that? It might've been yesterday. And, no, it was Friday. Picked up the paper reading, article that you wrote about collisions might be history with Major League Baseball. Now, this happens to be real close to what I do. I coach a college wooden bat team in the summer, and I played college ball and high school ball and, you know, what you would consider to be travel ball when I was in my, you know, late teens. Bruce Bochy and I played on the same Little League All-Star team. As a matter of fact, we had a party last night that I attended. It was all people from that area and everybody. As a matter of fact, Bochy's Little League coach, Ernie Salisbury, one of his coaches, his daughter was at the party, and I tried to get Bochy on the phone, and he was at dinner. But, you know... This is real important because at the college level and at the youth level and the high school level, I also coach in high school, you can't take a catcher out. You can't even act like you're trying to hit him or you're out. No. You can be disqualified if you do it too blatantly. And the kids are getting used to that. So that's been going on for a few years now. Now, there are some collisions sometimes. And there's not always ejections made at the college level and at the travel ball, you know, in high school level. But but I think it's a good idea because if you notice, even this year they started, you know, when Buster broke his he shattered his leg bone.
Yeah,
it was horrible. Tell us. First of all, tell me why you wanted to write this article, because it was a really good article. It wasn't particularly long, but it covered everything. And I sent, you know, a copy of the letter I sent you and told you what a good job you did to Boach. And he called me yesterday on it. So, you know, hopefully we'll have him on sometime and try to get you both on. But tell me what you think about this rule.
Well, I think it's a smart rule. You know, the collision involving Posey was just unbelievable to watch. You know, you see it in slow motion, you see it in replay, you see it, you know, in GIF form, you see it everywhere. There's just no reason for it. And, you know, the position of catcher is so important. I know that it's probably not fair to say one player is more important than the other, but, you know, if you stop and think about it, to your pitching staff, you know, the catcher is basically the manager on the field. And to take him out is just a critical loss for any team. And I think all managers realize that. And they realize, you know, hey, that could have been my catcher there taking that collision at the plate. And I know Pete Rose defends it. Pete Rose loves it. Well, you know, Pete Rose hasn't played in 30 years, however many years.
Pete's got sour grapes going on a little bit anyway, but he was on the opposite end of that. And I think right. Even when I wrote you and I talked to you, I was a real physical baseball player too. I would take somebody out in a heartbeat. I didn't care. That was just me. I was also a catcher starting out. So I was used to having people try to take my head off.
Right.
The problem is that there are several ways to get hurt. And when you're a catcher, I don't care how much equipment you have on, it's a physics problem is what it is.
You're standing there. You're motionless.
Yeah. And they're flying and they weigh 200 to 240 pounds and they're all muscle and they just take you out. If there's a helmet to helmet, you are going to have a concussion probably.
And it is like, yeah, it's like football. I mean, they come in shoulders down, head down, and, you know, you're completely vulnerable there. I mean, it's not like a collision at second base, you know, where you can come in with your spikes high. And you know what? If you come in spikes high and you spike the guy, fine. The guy at least has the opportunity to get out of the way. I mean, that isn't the case at the plate. And, you know, just force people to slide. That's, you know, stop them from sliding head first.
Yeah, they've done a pretty good job at the major league level. Now, and what they do, and there's a lot of talk. That, you know, Harold Reynolds, of course. I listen to Major League Baseball right. Network all the time. That is a great show. They have a great situation at MLB Network because they got Billy Ripken, who knows the game incredibly well. They've got Harold Reynolds, who helps that. He's also, I think, with the four-letter group. But the thing about it is that second baseman and shortstops – you know, a lot of those guys will come in there hard. Now, in the day, and I say this because I'm 60 years old, but back when I played, you know, we were told to take the guy into left field. And mm-hmm. we used to hit him with body blocks at shortstop, and they would just spend most of their time trying to get out of the way of us because they didn't want to get hurt. You know, and that's what we're trying to stay away from, and I think it's a great rule. And I'll tell you why. You know, you can sweep tag and make it can still be a very exciting play. No catcher in the world sure. wants to block the plate and get hurt. The one thing you notice about guys today is they take a lot better care of their bodies. They're making a mm-hmm. lot more money than they used to, Cindy. And they don't mm-hmm. want to take a chance on losing, you know, a year or 2 years or 3 years from their contract. Even guys like, the catcher from Atlanta who just signed with the Yankees. I'm sitting here, I can't even think of his name. Brian McCann. Brian McCann, I thought, was done. I saw him this year. He looked horrible. He couldn't throw anybody out. He was limping. And he just signed a multi-million-dollar contract with the Yankees. If he got to the point where he couldn't play, he'd lose a ton of money, you know?
Sure.
And Buster Posey just signed a pretty big deal, but they haven't really signed his biggest deal yet. That'll come later, probably. But Buster, you could tell this year, I bet he only caught 110 games. They have a good backup, and Buster plays a lot of first base too, and he can play third base. When he was at Florida State, speaking of Florida State Seminoles, he was a shortstop for a couple of years, and he just started catching his junior year. So, and then he signed. Giants got lucky, and he was there in the draft. Cindy, let's talk Redskins. Everybody, you know what?
Is anything going on there?
Nothing at all. You know, here's the thing with me. I'm a coach, so you're going to hear it from the coach's mouth first. But what I don't like about this situation at all is everybody is talking RG3, everybody is talking Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan. You know what? It's a dysfunctional organization. And see, mm-hmm. I've only written it 1,000 times, and I just keep writing it thinking, please, somebody offer Daniel Snyder, you know, a billion more
Did
than
you
it's
see that?
Worth.
They're starting the guy came out and he said he wanted to start a Kickstarter campaign to raise
enough money to buy him out. He would never do it.
It's like $6 billion or something like that.
He is the most arrogant,
never gonna happen.
Egotistical, you know what, that in the world, and nothing's going to change. Shanahan, what he's doing now, in my opinion, is what he wanted to do from the start. You tell me what you think. I think what happened was that when Robert Griffin got hurt last year and he came back and he buddied up to Snyder and he got ready, he was rehabbing that injury. Mm-hmm. And there was that campaign, you know, to be ready for the first game.
All in for week one, baby. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that was like he took over. It was out of Shanahan's hands at that point, and I think Snyder had a lot to do with it. What do you think?
Well, I guess my feeling about it is, I know that everyone is saying that, oh, you know, poor RG3, he took so much time, so much of his time was required to, you know, just to rehab to get back on the field. Well, yeah, and there isn't anybody in around the league who doesn't know that NFL defenses weren't going to catch up to some of what they were doing because they sort of installed that Baylor, you know, spread option that worked so well for them, and it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And you knew that defenses, given 6 months, were going to come up with some answers for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that he devoted, you know, enough of his time to actually studying the playbook, studying options, looking at film, thinking about what he could be doing in the way that, you know, like, oh, I don't know, a geek like Peyton Manning does, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think that really infuriated Shanahan. You know, there are reports, I'm not sure about this, but there are reports that it was Snyder, you know, who wanted to draft RG3.
I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that.
No, I don't either. He's going to sell you tickets. And, you know, he's a very exciting player. The problem is just that, you know, the owner, when he went out and hired Shanahan,
right.
it boggled my mind because I don't understand why he doesn't go out and find, oh, I don't know, the next Ozzie Newsome or, say, the next Ryan Grigson.
He doesn't want a GM. He wants to play. That's his rotisserie league team. That's his fantasy league
that's
team.
Well, that's where, see, I'm not so sure about that because the only position he really cares about is quarterback and, like, maybe two others. But I think that's where he cuts corners, and I think that's where he saves money. And I think he feels, I don't need that stinking stuff. You know, you got two stars. That's all you need. Well, no, it really isn't. And, you know, that's why he had a guy named Trent Baalke in his organization years and years ago. And Trent Baalke's now, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, doing pretty well with the San Francisco 49ers running that.
So is one of their best scouts, a guy named Joel Patton, who's from Fairfax, right. Virginia. He's their director of scouting now. And they, you know, he was just a little peon when he worked for the Redskins.
And there's another, you know, up and coming guy in Baltimore, Eric DaCosta. I mean,
right.
These people are out there. And it irritated me when he hired Shanahan because I saw, and I know this annoys Redskins fans whenever I say the word Ravens, but you looked at the Ravens and they went out and they hired John Harbaugh.
They
must have really, really followed and dug deep on the NFC East. You probably didn't really know who John Harbaugh was.
Just a great assistant coach in a number of spots. And he's
right.
Got the DNA, too, because of his dad.
And then you just step back. You let the, you know, a mm-hmm. solid scouting department, a solid GM hire, you know, you let the GM hire his coach. You build. You just build. And but they're never going to see it that way. They're just never going to.
I agree with you.
I can't believe that they will. Maybe I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. You're just like, I'm sitting here with Roy Edwards, who's my co-host on the show, and we're both Redskins fans, and we're looking.
Hi, how are you?
We're looking at each other, and we're just
I'm just depressed right now. Really,
yeah, it's really hard to be. Listen, the hardest thing in the world to be is a Redskins fan,
mm-hmm.
because first of all, we've had so much crap going on. Look, you know, say what you want about the name change and all of that, and that was kind of Wise's deal. You know, I mean, I'm glad Mike got behind it because nobody else was going to get jump started like mm-hmm. Wise did.
Absolutely.
But that is a slur. That's a slur, no matter how you put it. And George Preston Marshall, the original owner of the Redskins back then, after he'd bought him in Boston mm-hmm. and brought him to D.C., he was a racist. He was, you mm-hmm. know, there's no documentation he was in the Klan, but I'm sure he probably was. If there was a local Klan group. I mean, the guy kept African Americans out of the NFL longer than anybody else. You know, Bobby Mitchell mm-hmm. was his first hire, and he ends up, ironically enough, ends up being an assistant general manager here for years, which is, you know, being an assistant general manager is better than what we got now. And by the way,
you know,
for those of you out there that think Bruce Allen's a GM, when he was in Tampa Bay, he was exactly what he was here, a suit.
Right.
That was it.
Right. Well, you know, he's very good at cap space. He's very good at the, you know, the gold pants thing. He's very good at the old, you know, the historical, the traditional stuff. That's fine. But, you know, he's not a GM. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you think A.J. Smith is no.
Cindy, you know, what's going to happen? We got about 30 seconds. What do you think is going to happen with this deal?
Well, I found an interesting report today about Bill O'Brien, the Penn State coach, being ready to return to the NFL, and that kind of piqued my interest.
Huh.
You have to think Shanahan's gone, obviously, and he's not really doing his successor any favors with this, quarterback situation.
Cindy, can you hold on? We'll be back in about, a minute? We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. Cindy Boren.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. I got Cindy Boren on the phone. Cindy, here's what I think is going to happen, and then you say what you think is going to happen. I think that just because it's something nobody's expecting, first of all, here's the problem. They keep saying that the $7 million, and it's $13 million with the assistant coaches, that he's not going to just let it go away, that he's not going to lose it. So he doesn't want to. Nobody thinks, at least that's what I'm reading and hearing, nobody thinks Snyder's going to fire him. Listen, that wouldn't keep Snyder from firing anybody. We were kept from spending $18 million under the cap for the last 2 years, so that money's there somewhere. The point is that I just don't think anything's going to happen. I think that what's going to happen is he's not going to extend him, but he's going to bring everybody back, and there may be a change or two made. I don't think Kyle – did you see Kyle – I'm sure you did – at the press conference the other day?
Yeah, I did.
Didn't you think he did a good job?
I think he did. I think he handled it about as well as he could. He's in a terrible position. He never should have left Houston.
No.
Things were going really – and obviously
Well, he might be going into Houston now, too.
I think Kyle's the keeper anyway. I mean, I think Mike is just probably not capable.
I don't think so.
Really?
Quarterback and Kyle are on the same page at all.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Let me ask you this. Robert Griffin III. Let's just say, there's a game coming up later on. We're going to talk about all these games here. That's what we do on this show. We handicap all the football. We have great writers on the show. And I want to thank Cindy Boren, who's on the phone with us right now. She's the editor. She's one of the editors, sports editors over at Washington Post. And you do a million things. You're their chief. I'm looking around. That's why I was so surprised to see the article, because it was like a big, great article there, and you're kind of a behind the scenes person over there from time to time because you've got all those big names over there. But I was looking at your resume. You've been a million places. You started out in Missouri, but you've been with three or four different newspapers, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. Kansas City Star, Hartford Courant. I was at the National Sports Daily briefly. It didn't last very long, and the New York Daily News.
I love the NYDN. I mean, I buy that in the Star every day because we go out in Westchester County. That's where we're broadcast out of, like Western Connecticut all the way through Newark, pretty much, and on the boroughs of Manhattan. You're being listened to by a bunch of people who are bummed out right now, Jets and Giants fans.
And Redskins fans.
And
then you're talking to two Redskins.
Yeah, and Roy, my co-host Roy G is sportsmancave.com, and he's like got his own little network, and so we're on the internet all over the place. And the thing that is that when you get around, when I'm going back to Shanahan right now, I like Mike because I like good daytime coaches. He's an X's and O's guy, but you know what he's good at? He's a good game day coach. I watch him on the sidelines. He does a pretty good job. He knows what's going on. I just think that he was hamstrung by that $36 million, and that's why our special teams are terrible, and we don't have enough defensive backs. And I think that they drafted some of the wrong people this past year. Now, they had a couple of guys. They got a running back from Florida A&I or Florida International, I guess. He played for Howard Schnellenberger. He's a great running back.
Yeah, Alfred Morris.
1,600 plus yards last year, but a lot of that was because of Robert Griffin's ability to be able to run.
Well, he's number two in the Washington Redskins are number two in the league, I believe, this year in running the football. So the whole, they were only the number one last year because of Robert Griffin. Yeah, well, maybe that put him over the edge, but Alfred Morris is still a great running back, and they're still proving that this year.
Well, they're getting behind
early in games now because their defense can't get off the field, and that's a big problem. And you can get a lot of fantasy points, mm-hmm. as you know, because
yes,
you're
can.
Big in fantasy, Roy.
Yes,
you get a lot of fantasy points in the second half when you're down 21 points. Mm-hmm. I like today's game, Cindy. I like their chances in Atlanta because I looked at
Atlanta.
Atlanta's terrible.
They're dreadful.
They're as bad as we are. And you know what? I can't believe I said that.
They might
have. I'll always say that. But do you ever get a chance to talk to Sonny Jurgensen? Have you ever interviewed Sonny?
I've talked to him, yes, several times.
Cindy, that guy can tell more stories. I was listening to him on the radio the other day when he was at some I'm not sure which station it was. It might have been 980, but they were doing something they do on Friday afternoons downtown, and it's a lunch. And Sonny was their guest. And I'm telling you, he is an amazing guy. Unbelievable. And he's seen it all. You know, it's hard for me to understand. Do you think they're going to fire Mike, or do you think they're going to bring him back?
I just don't see how he comes back. I don't see how it works. I really don't. I think it's just reached an untenable position here.
You think they're going to?
I know a lot of people look at this and say, "Oh, you know, a guy who benches his quarterback like this is thinking about coming back." I'm not sure I buy that. I just think it's such a poisonous atmosphere there. Right
yeah,
now.
It's dysfunctional.
Do you?
And I'm not sure he's the guy to fix it. You know, he's very much a micromanager. He's very. You know, he's really granular when it comes to running the team. I'm not really sure that's what they need right now either. Certainly I've seen a lot of strange things happen in the NFL.
Mostly from Washington.
I don't feel that he's coming back. most of them in the 13 years that I've been here.
Do you believe this whole the Mike Shanahan statement that he's playing Kirk Cousins to possibly get a first round draft pick out of him? Or do you think that, or do you believe the other side of the argument that this is the slighting or the middle finger, I guess, to his
finger?
Boss and Dan Snyder?
I don't actually, I'm not sure I believe either one of them really. I tell you, I'm sorry to kind of burst your bubble here. I don't see them getting a first round pick for Kirk Cousins.
No, he's not a one.
And in a draft that's going to be heavy on quarterbacks, I mean, there are going to be a number of really, really good quarterbacks.
Yeah. The next two drafts, really.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see him pulling in a one. I really don't.
Yeah, no, he's not.
I do think.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But, you know, if he goes out and lights it up, though, mm-hmm. I mean, that certainly says, you know, look what we can do with a guy who understands the system, wants to sit there and learn about progressions, go through his reads. You know, I mean, for better or worse, RG3 does not do that, and that, you know, last year that was fine when he had the wheels. He doesn't have the wheels. He needs to learn to go through his progressions, see the options, and unload the ball if it's not there. He takes too long back there, puts more stress mm-hmm. on the offensive line, and he can't move. He cannot run the way he used to. That also puts pressure on the offensive line because they're not an offensive line built to block, you know, for a pocket passer.
Yeah, they, you know, this line that they put together, they've got one legitimate stud there, and that's Trent Williams. And somebody was pointing out to me that Trent lately looks like he's put on a few pounds and he's slowing down a little bit. But the problem, you listen to Chris Cooley from time to time. He does a pretty good job. We both talked about him yesterday. But he broke down the offensive line the other day on mm-hmm. one of his shows. And I got to tell you something. That was the best half hour I've listened to on the radio mm-hmm. in a long mm-hmm. time, because he graded the guys and basically said what their problems were. Well, what's the offensive line coach doing? He's trying. The offensive line coach obviously knows that every day. And he's just trying to get as much protection for as long as he can get it to not get somebody killed. And
And, you know, they had the right people on that offensive line for the quarterback they had a year ago. They don't have the right personnel on the line for the quarterback they have this year.
Right.
Absolutely. Cindy, it's been great having you on the show. Listen,
will you
come back sometime? Because I love talking to you. And there's nothing, in my opinion, there's nothing better than talking about football than somebody that lives it and breathes it daily. And you do that. Cindy Bourne of the Washington Post. Cindy, thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Take care.
Boy, I tell you, that's a breath of fresh air. She's wonderful. And I'll tell you what, I've wondered who she was. She's on Twitter. I should have dropped. Well, let's drop her Twitter handle. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's @CindyBourne
Hold on 1 second, and let's see if we can find it. See if you can find it, Roy. You're faster than me. Anyway, Cindy Bourne, Washington Post. All you got to do is Google her, and there's all kinds of stuff out there to read about her. She's wonderful. And they do have some really good female writers for the Washington Post. I mean, you know.
That's because their male writers aren't any good.
Well, that's exact. Well, the male writers that are left. Mark Maskey. Are you kidding me? What is wrong with Mark Maskey? Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, that guy drives me nuts. I love Mike Wise, but hey, Wise wrote a pretty good article this week.
That
but
would
Mike,
be his first.
But Mike's got his deal going. You know, he's
Mike's
trying.
He's a shock value.
Well, he's a converted Indian, and so am I. I've got Cherokee Indian blood in me, and I hope they do change the name. To be honest with you, now you haven't read what I've read.
I've read,
and I'm not going to argue with you right now. But the Redskins have nothing to do with the Red Sox. Okay.
Okay.
I just wanted to let you know that. And by the way, he bought the Boston Braves from a guy there, moved him to Washington. He's the one that made him the Redskins.
Yes, in Boston.
Yeah, but that's because he knew he was coming.
He named him in Boston.
But he didn't name him because of the Red Sox. He named him because of...
So it had nothing to do with that he played in the same stadium, Fenway Park, as the Red Sox at the time.
Probably didn't hurt. But I don't think that's why he did it.
Well, I think it had something to do with it.
Wouldn't there have been two names if that was the case? Wouldn't it have been Red and then the name Skins instead of Redskins together?
I mean,
and, not a...
Yeah, like not...
Look at
I'm
the first
a Red Skin. I'm not
first,
a Redskin.
Look at the first coach. The first coach, that's who they said that they named him after. And the dude looks exactly like the logo. Exactly like the logo.
Well, you know what? The guy's family should sue because they keep using that damn logo and making money on it.
Well, maybe they'd have a better case.
Hey, when we get back, you know what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about football. And Clark Judge is coming on at 11:05. And if you like Clark Judge, he's one of the greatest NFL insiders I've ever talked to on the radio. We have Clark on a number of times during the year. I can't wait to hear what he has to say about the Jets and the Giants and the games today. For the first time in generations, Roy, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here in News Talk 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I got done talking to Cindy Bourne, Washington Post.
She's fun. I like her. And, you know, you can reach her at Cindy Bourne, B-O-R-E-N, right? And Cindy with a Y?
With a C.
Yeah, C with a C
C-I-N-D-Y.
And a Y.
C-I-N-D-Y-B-O-R-E-N.
Yep. And she's anything but boring, that's for sure.
You kill me.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We have to invite these people back more often. No, I love the article. It was in the Friday Post. Mm-hmm. And I want to say it was front page. I think it was. It was D2, and I mean, it was a big piece. Collisions might be history. Cindy Bourne, pull it up. Got a picture of my boy Buster Posey shattering his leg just above that. But there's a big piece on Bruce Bochy, Mike Matheny, catcher, who's the manager of St. Louis Cardinals. Mm-hmm. If you notice, all the catchers are the best managers anyway. You won't ever find pitchers as managers because they don't really play baseball. They just pitch. Laughter.
So,
yeah, thank you very much. Man. Thank you.
Please warn me if you're going to be funny.
Yeah, this is a sports show, Matt. That's supposed to be a joke. Let's start talking football, Roy, because, you know, last week I missed you. You got a great interview, and we're going to play it as soon as GW wins one more game, which means we'll probably have it next week.
They're killing it, man.
Yeah, but we need to get that interview. Roy did a great interview with who?
It was
head coach of the George Washington
Mike
Clones.
Lonergan. Yeah,
great guy. He used to be assistant to
He was an assistant at Maryland University to Gary...
Gary Williams.
Gary Williams. I'm on my football mindset right now. I have to pull that part of my brain out.
Hey, listen, I might be 60, but I can still do... I can chew gum and walk
Mike Lonergan. Who...
Lonergan. He's got an R in there.
So I was
I was surprised to see that because, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't... I thought it was Lonergan, too. Hey, let me ask you a question. Was he tall?
I mean, he's about my height. I mean,
okay, well, then he never played baseball basketball.
No.
So the answer's no.
I mean, I'm not short.
Well, you're not tall.
I'm not 6'4" or 6'5".
Well, you're not six,
like,
are you? Are you
if,
six? If you're 5'11" and three quarters.
If I'm wearing the right pair of shoes, I'm 6 foot.
Hey, if my youngest daughter's wearing the right shoes, she's 6 foot two.
Yeah, no, I'm 5'10".
Let's go. Let's go to football. Let's figure out what's going on here and look at some.
Well, first, before we do,
yeah, what do you want to talk about, Roy?
I want to talk to you about,
since you're here today,
this rule change with the
potential
rule change. Yeah, real quick.
All right,
a lot of people have made this out to be the pussification of sports,
but it's not.
Well, hold on. They're looking at this as protecting their stars. That one of their biggest name stars in baseball went down with this major injury, so they have to prevent that from happening again, much like the quarterback is protected in the NFL.
That's exactly right, and it's exactly the same thing. But it's one rule change. Mm-hmm. It's not 8 million rule changes. It's not – in football, it was you can't hit him in the head at first.
Right.
Then you can't lead with your helmet. Then you can't go low. Then you can't go in between. Mm-hmm. In football, you can't touch the quarterback unless he's in the process of letting go of the ball. Mm-hmm. Pretty much, you got to pull up or try to dive out of the way. In baseball, we're talking about just doing away with the collision.
So how much of this is going to affect the catcher blocking the plate?
All of it. He's not going to be allowed to block the plate. He's going to have to sweep tag. He's going to be able to put his left shoe facing the dugout on third base, basically on the corner of the plate, and catch the ball probably right about in front of the plate, sweep tag. Sweep tag. I just took myself out of my microphone because I swept tag. Sweep tag the guy out. What that'll do is two things. It'll allow the runner to run full speed and try to slide away from the tag. And it also allows the catcher to not worry about he's going to get drilled in the head by some. Because when Posey got hit, that guy could have missed him. That was BS. I'm going to tell you something. And it was all Boach could do not to do anything. And I guarantee it had something to do with the way his knee felt. But if I'd have been on the bench, they would have had to peel me off that guy, because that guy went out of his way to hurt Buster. He came back into him. Buster gave him a way to go to the plate. He almost had the whole plate. He went inside to just make contact, to be a badass. And he, guess what? He took a guy out for over a year, basically.
Right. I know.
Now, it wasn't in a playoff game, but it was a playoff implication type early. But that was early in the season. That was in May. So he missed May, June, July, August, September. Then he rehabbed it, and he was rehabbing it all along.
And he's back, though.
Oh, he's back, but he's not the same catcher. He can't catch. He caught about 110 games last year, and it killed him. Mm-hmm. He's going to end up playing third base for that team eventually, because Brandon Belt's going nowhere. He's going to play third. They're probably going to wheel Pablo off if he doesn't lose the weight this year. And if they wheel Pablo off, they're going to get somebody for Pablo. You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They'll get somebody good. And, you know, they might be able to send Pablo to the Nationals. He plays third. Zimmerman goes to first base, and we're done. There's been a lot of talk about Zim going to first base this week, not just me and you talking about it a year ago when we thought that was the logical thing to do. They've been talking about it finally. Rizzo listens to me. He was at the winter meetings.
Yeah,
he's a great guy.
Every baseball head I've talked to.
Zimmerman's going
to move to first.
Absolutely. He's going to eventually. He has to.
Rendon's
a third baseman.
Yeah. I sat down with a lunch with Dave Jagler last year.
Dave Jagler's my hero.
Who is a. He's the voice of the Washington Nationals, for you that don't know.
That's like FP Santangelo.
And
man.
He was telling me.
The juicer.
Zim's going to first. It's a done deal.
Eventually.
It's just a matter of time.
Yeah,
when.
It is.
Which is why I thought the Washington Nationals were going to be such players in the Cano deal. I thought that. Well,
yeah.
Well, I'm glad that they didn't.
No, that's too
as
much
a Washington
money.
Nationals
too much
fan
money.
Because
too
of the money,
money.
But it makes sense.
They got to pay all those pitchers eventually.
If you're going to get a third baseman or a second baseman, it's this year, because Adam LaRoche is in a contract year. So far as I'm concerned, he's gone.
No,
by the All Star break.
He's at least gone by the end of the year. Now listen,
you can't let him walk.
No, but if Atlanta. Now listen to me. Now, if Adam LaRoche you know, hits 25 to 30 bombs this year and drives in close to 100 runs again and hits 280 again.
He gets back to that MVP candidate in 2011.
No, he's not an MVP candidate. My point is
he was finished sixth, I believe.
But we won't, yeah, but we won't let him go anywhere. We won't let him go before the end of the year, is what I'm saying. Look, can we talk about this?
You guys made me a liar because I played the football sound. People were dog whistled into thinking we were talking about football. Then you guys went on for a couple minutes.
Well, we were talking about collisions. So the sound was actually a.
You know what? I haven't even finished my coffee
yet. It says football hit on my.
Oh,
button.
By the way,
so
hey,
that was the catcher hit, the one that you played.
Hey, hey, real quick, I want to shout out to Chuck Grimsley and Lynn Richardson for throwing one hell of a party last night. All right, let's talk about the Redskins and the Falcons.
Now we can talk about
it. Falcons are minus six, Roy. They're minus six. The total's 50. This is a gimme over. This game is going so far over, it's not even funny, because neither team can rush the passer, neither team can tackle, neither team can cover. I think Kirk Cousins lights it up, throws four touchdowns for 338 yards, one pick for a touchdown, and we win 38-35.
I've joked about that Kirk Cousins is going to come out these last three games
and
throw for 1,500 yards.
I love this
I'm joking when I say 1,500 yards, but he could legitimately throw for 1,000 yards.
Easily.
In his next three games.
He might as well.
That's where I disagreed with Cindy, where she came on and she said that, you know, they're not going to get a first-round draft pick for Kirk Cousins.
They're not.
If he comes out and he lights it up, then you do get a first-round draft pick for Kirk Cousins. There's no reason why you don't if he comes out and lights it up. Look at some of the draft
picks. Look at who they're playing.
Yeah, but look at –
they're playing Dallas, Atlanta, and somebody else.
Quarterbacks make the world go round.
No, you're right. And let me tell you, we've had Mike McCartney on our show several times.
That's what I was about to say. And can we get him on the show right now?
I already tried.
Mike is
traveling, and I'm pretty sure he's on his way to Atlanta, and he's probably doing interviews right now. But Mike McCartney, who comes on our show all the time and is a wonderful guest and a great agent, by the way. Mike is Kirk Cousins' agent. And, you know, I'm sending out tweets, you know, on Mike's, you know, to Mike and stuff, talking about Kirk Cousins is going to pull this one out today. This is great, blah, blah, blah. And McCartney's, he's a pretty humble guy. He ain't answering none of that crap. He's pretty smart. And the big thing I wanted to do, we're going to have, by the way, Mike McCartney on next week. I'm pretty sure he's going to come on next week. And if he comes on next week, we're not only going to talk about Robert Griffin, you know, in that situation with Kirk Cousins, you know what we're going to talk about, don't you? We're going to talk about the Heisman Trophy situation.
Yeah.
Because he will talk about that because he's a family guy. He's not going to say anything bad about anybody because he can't really blow, you know, Florida State out of the water with anything he says. But he, knowing Mike, he'll tell me what he feels about that situation. What he'll be able to tell us is how did that thing get that far?
Yeah.
Because, like I said, Roy, you and I, right, we have kids. Mm-hmm. If somebody hurts our kids, are we going to do?
And this isn't even done yet. It's really not done.
God, I hope not. The
prosecutor attorney came out on Friday and was talking about it. So, I mean, this is not you haven't heard the last of the Jameis Winston charges or non-charges, whatever you want to call
hopefully we've heard the last of him talking because he talks on about a fourth grade level. He drives me nuts. You know, he was so happy. Listen, the Redskins are getting six. I love that. I'm taking that. That's not my homie.
I do have Washington, yes. And I have the over as well. So we are on both pages.
All right, so you know what? You can really tease those things any way you want. You can get Washington getting 16 in a triple. You can get them over 40 in a triple, which is could be in
That's
the first
ridiculous.
Half.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the next one, Matthew. Laughter. Ha ha. No, I'm just kidding. San Francisco's at Tampa Bay. Now, let me tell you something. It took a lot to get me to play this 49ers in a moderate play here.
Love your boy out in Tampa.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you something.
And he's been good for you as of recently.
You know what I have here? I have under 41 points. Under 41 points here. I'm not going to play the game. It's too close to call. You know, this could be a 17-13 game. And remember this about San Francisco or any team from the West Coast that comes here for a 1 o'clock game. It's 10 o'clock in the morning on their body. I'm going to just take the under because I think both defenses will play very well. Both offenses will struggle.
I have the under. I do have San Francisco minus five as well, but that's because I mean I pick every game.
So, I kind of hope San Francisco
wins.
Not one of my top plays,
but I agree with you with the under. I mean, San Francisco is a great defense, and Tampa Bay, they're good when they're in a shootout, and this is not going to be a shootout.
No, but San Francisco is not going to let anybody run up and down the field. Let's go to the next game. We both like the same thing. Oh, this game is so ugly. Arizona, Tennessee. Now, everybody in the world had Arizona.
I have Arizona.
Last week, right? No, last week.
Yeah, Arizona.
And we pushed. Yeah. Everybody pushed. Mm-hmm. And they should have won the game.
And I beat myself.
They should have won the game.
Last week in fantasy was probably the worst week of my life. I was at a basketball game, so I blame that. But I benched
Andrew. Well, you were working.
I benched Andrew Luck and played Alex Smith.
My son played
Andrew
Luck.
Because I'm a genius. And then I... And then I dropped Arizona's defense, and I picked up St. Louis's defense because I am so smart. So
yeah.
That is 57 points right there that I took out of my lineup.
Yeah, loser.
Awful. So I lost that.
Hey.
Of course, that was my big league. So now all I have left is to deal with
it. Hey, is it okay if we pass on that game? Because I really don't want to play that game.
Yeah, I don't really like it either.
I don't like it because I'll tell you why. Tennessee needs the game, and Arizona is the better team, and it's a perfect number. It's minus 2.5 on the road team, and Tennessee's not that good, and Ryan Fitzpatrick is starting to look worse and worse all the time. Next game. I love this
game. The New Orleans Saints?
At the St. Louis Rams. What happened to the Rams?
The Rams became the Rams again.
What happened? Hey, your boy's hurt.
Tavon?
Yeah. He may not play, I'm hearing.
Hopefully Stedman Bailey steps in there. And
well, Stedman Bailey can play. Mm-hmm. The Rams are, well, look, I picked them to win the Super Bowl in 2017.
Yeah, we were both on that.
Yeah.
We're both on that train.
We like them 4 years from now.
I like them in a couple of years when they get all the Redskins picks.
Well, they're going to have plenty of those even next year. Mm-hmm. It looks like I'm going to pass on that game. I don't even like the over because, you know, defensively, these are two very good defenses. St. Louis defense isn't bad. Saints aren't bad. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'll tell you guys what. If you haven't seen George Washington play, you need to do that. I wanted to get that in because I covered him last week with a guy named Mo Creek who plays for them. Transfer from Indiana after blowing out a couple knees.
They're good. They've only lost a couple games, haven't
they? One game. They lost one game, and they lost to Marquette. Yeah.
A couple knees? Like four?
He blew out his knee twice. Yeah.
Same one?
When he played in Indiana. And then he transferred over. He's a fifth-year senior. He's only really played 1 year.
A lot of people go to school for 7 years.
Huh? He's a fifth year. He's a grad student at George Washington. So, but eligibility-wise, they call him a fifth-year senior. So, yeah.
Nothing like being a
hell of a player,
not
too.
Not 5 years as a senior, because that would be sad.
Hell of a player.
That's like fourth grade were the three best years of my life. I'm Bruce Hall, and I didn't flunk any grades, but people thought I skipped them, but I didn't. I just started school early. Don't blame me. It was my parents' fault. We got a phone call. Clark Judge. Clark, you on the air?
This is Brad Wells of Stampede Blue.
Oh, Brad, I'm sorry. I got you mixed up. Brad Wells with Stampede Blue. You know what we're talking about today?
Tell me.
Roy, we're talking Indianapolis Colts with Brad Wells. Brad,
Talk
to us about the Colts. Listen to me. These guys have got they're in first place in their division, and Roy and I love Andrew Luck. I mean, they couldn't have made a better choice because we're Washington Redskins fans, and we kind of like Andrew Luck a lot more than Robert Griffin right now. I don't know why, but we do.
I benched
Andrew Luck last week. He's two of those. Tell me something. How are the Colts doing it? I mean, I hear a lot of things from Indianapolis. And by the way, I follow Bobby on Twitter. Or Jimmy Irsay, I'm sorry, on Twitter. And I like Jimmy Irsay.
He's a good one to follow.
He's crazy.
Around 3 a.m.
He's a child from the 60s and 70s. There's no question about that. And he would have been fun to party with before I got sober, I'm sure. But the thing I like about the Colts is I like the way they show up every game and they play hard. They can't run the football. They've got injuries. You know, arguably their best receiver, Reggie Wayne, or at least their most proclaimed receiver. He is their best receiver.
He was the best. It's obvious.
Reggie Wayne. Hey, I activated your tight end this weekend because I need the points and I'm in the playoffs. What do you think's going to happen with these guys down the road? Roy and I were trying to set up the playoff situation. The Colts are going to get the number 5 seed, which is going to end up being Kansas. Yeah.
They're going to play the number 5 seed, right?
Yeah, yes. They are the 4 seed, yes. Right? Roy, trust me, I know what I'm talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
Brad, they're going to play Kansas City, but they're going to get to play them in the dome. Are they going to beat Kansas City if they get there?
The way they're playing right now, I don't think so. They haven't played really all that great since their Week 8 bye. Week 7, Reggie Wayne went down after the big win over the Denver Broncos. And really, since then, the Colts have just not looked like the same football team. And in the last month, they've almost been unwatchable. They've been so bad, especially on offense, where, I mean, a lot has been made about the fact that they've been outscored. It's like 150 points to like 20 or whatever in the first quarter of the last 5 or 6 ball games. They've started very slowly. And part of the reason why they've started slowly is because they're not running the football effectively. They haven't been able to throw the ball effectively because up until, I think, very recently, their receiving core just hasn't stepped up. Haywood Bay has been a train wreck. And the rest of the receiving core really hasn't developed. They had a really good game against the Bengals, but that was sort of all for naught because the defense, which, you know, that was what they spent a lot of money on in the offseason. And you were speaking of Jim Irsay. Jim Irsay said at the very beginning of the season, right at the start of training camp, that he expected the defense this season to become a cornerstone of the franchise. Well, that hasn't happened. Defense has been terrible. And so it's been really hard to – number one, it's been hard to watch them play.
No, I hear you because I like them. You know, I mean, it's hard not to like the team, especially after last year.
Yeah, you like the team. And Andrew Luck, I mean, the way he started the season was really hot. And then, since Wayne went down and since the offensive line has sort of imploded – he's had his struggles. He's basically out there doing it by himself.
Let me ask you a question. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. Let me ask you a question. How do they look in the draft next year? Do they have most of their picks still? And I know they don't. They gave the first up, right, for your running back.
Yeah, they gave the first up for Trent Richardson, and then they gave up later round picks. I think their 5th round pick, they gave that up for the guy they drafted last year in the 5th round, Montori Hughes.
Right.
So, and speaking of the draft, I mean, the draft picks that they got last year, the players that they picked in the 2013 draft, people haven't done anything. So, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, they're a good team to root for because there's good people on the team.
Right.
And great players like Luck and like Adam Vinatieri. Adam Vinatieri is having a career year. The guy's 41 years old.
He's a monster. He's a monster. So plus, he used to play for New England, so if there's a way to cheat in there, he's figured out how to do it. Let me tell you something. Nothing surprises me in the NFL anymore. Nothing. You know?
Me neither. I mean, you kind of get to, like, you were mentioning the Redskins and how you guys are fans of it. I mean, I get up this morning and I'm reading the stuff that Ian Rappaport's put on NFL Network about Kyle Shanahan maybe leaving Washington, and I'm like, really? It's like Family Feud. And then I'm like, well, wait a minute, why am I surprised by this? This happens every year.
Yeah,
always kind of crazy thing that happens with some team, usually the Redskins.
How did you know how Daniel Snyder ever got the team, got the NFL to sell him the team is beyond me. I mean, in reality, he wasn't their first choice, and then something didn't work out with one of the buyers, and so this other guy came along and helped foot the bill for him, and you know, he's just an accident looking for a place to happen. If it wasn't for his wife doing all this charity work, I'm pretty sure they'd have thrown him out of the city a long time ago. He's, you know, the problem with him is he thinks he's Jerry Jones, only he didn't play football. You know, he's Jerry Jones without the football background. Jerry's dysfunctional too. You know that. I mean, they've had decent drafts, but this year they took an offensive lineman that's horrible. They took their best player. They stuck him back in there last week. This defensive, this linebacker that got hurt again last week. He had a concussion. They said he passed the test. There's no way he passed the tests because after one hit, he was out again. You know, I mean, they just can't figure it out. And he's adopted, you know, Jason Garrett. And Jason Garrett's a great kid. But what Jason Garrett is, honestly, is probably a general manager. He should be a GM. He's not really that good on the field. He isn't.
And I mean, I think it's, I mean, you could say whatever you want about Garrett, you know, as an offensive coach. But with the Cowboys at the beginning of the season, the crosshairs were on Garrett because his entire coaching staff was picked by Jerry Jones, and they all had ties to John Gruden. So everyone thought that John Gruden at some point in the middle of the season was going to take over the Cowboys because Monty Kiffin's on that team. Bill Callahan is on that team, on that coaching staff. These are all people that used to coach with Gruden in Tampa Bay.
Right.
So, and in Oakland.
Right. So what do you think's going to – let me ask you this. What do you think's going to happen with them this weekend? Are they going to win the game?
With the Colts?
Yes.
With the Redskins or the Cowboys?
No, the Colts. The Colts game. Are they going to win the game?
I really don't know.
I don't think
that they will. They've made it a very big point to emphasize that the Colts have never lost back-to-back games while Chuck Pagano has been the head coach.
Right.
The Colts have two problems coming into this game.
Right.
One, they've already locked up their playoff seeding, and they're already in the playoffs. They've locked up their division, and they've pretty much already locked up their playoff seeding.
Brad, thanks.
Yeah, the loss to Cincinnati really hurt them.
Brad, thanks so much for coming on. Listen, that was Brad Wells at Stampede Blue altogether, right, Brad, on Twitter? And and Brad, let me tell you something. If you need to know anything about the Colts, he's the guy to call. Brad, thanks. We got to have you back on. I'd love to have you on next week because we're going to follow the Colts every week. We think that they're the key to the AFC playoffs. Thanks, buddy. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to brucehallsports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Hey, make sure you follow me and Roy. I'm at Bruce Hall Sports. By the way, we had Brad Wells on. Brad is at Stampede Blue, does a lot of Colts stuff. He's a great guy. He's fun to follow. Not a lot of Indianapolis people out there, to be honest with you. It's kind of strange, you know. They had a Super Bowl there a couple years ago, but I love reading his stuff, and he's good. Plus, I love Irsay. Irsay's just sick. He's sick. He's a sick puppy. I mean, and he likes being a sick puppy.
I don't really follow many sports guys, but I follow him because he quotes Pearl Jam songs. So
does he really?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have Clark Judge on here in a second, hopefully.
Hopefully, or else just...
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was Clark Judge, to be honest with you, but it was Brad Wells. And I just got real busy earlier this week and started calling people. I want to make sure we had a good show for everybody. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm here with Roy Edwards. Roy Edwards with Sports Man Cave. Waiting on a call from Clark Judge. Let's go over... Let's
That's
do,
fine.
Yeah,
we'll
let's...
Just-
Yeah, it's not a problem.
You know, we got other things planned.
What are we? Where are we at? We're gonna save the New York.
Call.
We're gonna save the. Thank you for doing doing his job
for
him, Roy.
Don't worry.
I looked away for 2 seconds. Here we go.
I gotcha.
Hey, Clark. How you doing? Thanks for calling in. Sorry about that, Clark. We got super busy here this morning. It's that time of the year, you know, with 3 games left in the NFL season. Everybody's trying to – I mean, this is a big, big weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is a big weekend, but I don't know that there are that many great games. I mean, to me, the best game is probably Miami and New England. I mean, I think that's a game with all sorts of repercussions. They have repercussions for one team maybe involved, like Chicago-Cleveland. Now, Cleveland's not going anywhere. Big game for Chicago. Detroit-Baltimore is a big game. That's a good game.
That's tomorrow night, right?
But yeah. Pittsburgh – yeah, Pittsburgh-Cincinnati. I mean, you know, it's a big game for Cincinnati. It's enough for Pittsburgh. They're not going anywhere.
No, it's a grudge match for Pittsburgh.
Lots of games with repercussions, but often for just one team.
No, absolutely. And listen, if you follow a loser like Roy and I do, the Falcon-Redskins game has huge draft implications, but not for the Redskins, for the Rams. If the Redskins lose that game.
Right. Yeah, the Rams. I mean, the Rams are watching with all sorts of interest because that draft deal, that pre-draft deal that they made a year ago, essentially, which sent RG3 to Washington for 3 draft picks. I mean, they exchanged the first round, two first rounders. Turns out to be a good deal for Washington and a great deal for St. Louis. And it's funny because a year ago, people in St. Louis were telling me that's a bad deal. They should have drafted RG3, meaning the Rams. They never should have made it. Well, wait a second. Yeah. You're going to build a championship team out of that deal because you keep getting players. It's the gift that keeps on giving. And this year, you might get the first pick overall.
Maybe we can trick them into trading Kirk Cousins for that pick.
Cousins isn't the one leaving, in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought where Shanahan said he could get a first. You're not going to get a first.
No. You know who ruined that for everybody? Flynn. Because Flynn didn't even beat out – well, Russell Wilson isn't your typical third or fourth-round draft choice. But Flynn didn't even get the – I mean, even they paid him millions of dollars. Wasn't that like a big deal, Clark? That was a multi-million dollar deal for Flynn with Seattle.
Oh, sure. No, it was, but – yeah, it was, but remember, Miami had a chance to sign him, and they didn't. Seattle was the only taker, and Seattle doesn't have a great history with quarterbacks. I mean, they were interested in Tavares Jackson, and they signed him. Didn't work out. They made the trade for Charlie Whitehurst. He was terrible. Then they ended up getting this guy. He didn't make it, and then suddenly it's Russell Wilson. Boom, they hit one. They hit a third-rounder, and I think, honestly, a lot by luck more than anything else, but he's turned out to be a good quarterback. Yeah. But you look at Kirk Cousins, you say, what's the market for him? Well, Alex Smith became a high second. He was the first pick of the second round, and essentially is what Kansas City gave up for him, which I was surprised they gave that up. But that was a guy with a 19-5 in record that had taken the 49ers to the championship game. So you can tell me Kirk Cousins done that? No, he hasn't.
No, and I tell you what, too, Alex Smith, he's a good athlete, too. There's a lot of things Alex can do. One of the things he doesn't do much of is throw the ball deep, but on that team he doesn't have to with that defense. Kansas City pretty much is locked into – to, you know, that top wild card spot in the AFC, and we were taking a look at what was going to happen later on. Listen, I'd be remiss and out of my mind if I didn't ask you what you think about all this dysfunction in Washington, because I don't know. I don't want to be – look, if you don't want to talk about it, it's fine with me, because everybody's calling me wanting me to talk about it, and we know a little bit more here than most people. What does it look like to a guy up there that's just the top NFL guy, period, as far as I'm concerned?
Well, I know all the parties involved, and it's the operative word is what you just said, dysfunction. That's what it is. It's a dysfunctional organization. I mean, look at the history of coaches under Daniel Snyder. They don't last long, and they don't win. I mean, Joe Gibbs is a Hall of Fame coach. Okay, he went to 2 playoffs in 4 years. That's better than anyone, all right? 2 playoffs in 4 years. You go, that's great. He was 30-34 there.
Yep.
So what's going on that causes these people not to have success? And honestly, you have to look at the top. And you look at Daniel Snyder, he's an impatient guy. He does coddle players. I've heard that from coaches before, where guys would run to the office and say, this is what we're doing, this is what we're doing. And he was meddlesome. He would get too involved. And so I think that what they've got to do there is find someone who's a strong person, a strong personality. Mike Shanahan's that kind of guy, but also have the owner back off. And will that happen? Well, was Jerry Jones not going to be the GM of the Dallas Cowboys? No. So it's not going to happen. I mean, Daniel's not going to change this time in his life. At some point, he's going to get tired of losing and figure out there's got to be a different way. And there does. There has to be a different way. You look at teams like Baltimore, Pittsburgh, stability. Yeah. New England, stability.
It's the organization. It's the organization. They're just strong. They're strong.
You don't change coaches like we change socks. You don't do that. And they change administrations that way. In Cleveland, that's what's going on there. Cleveland has this history of failure. Why? They keep tearing the place up, blowing it up, and starting over. You don't win that way. You just don't.
No, I couldn't agree more. I'll tell you the thing, and nobody knows more. It knows more about how dysfunctional the Redskins are. They don't have a general manager. He brings Bruce Allen here. He wears the suit. Bruce Allen never made a call on personnel in Tampa Bay. Never. Right. That was always Gruden and Dungy. You know, I mean, for the last, I don't know how many years, and I don't know what's going on in Tampa Bay right now. Some of the Redskins, you know, you and I both agree scouting has a lot to do with the NFL. Wouldn't you agree? Especially at the collegiate level when you're getting ready for drafts and stuff. Some of the best scouts the Redskins ever have are working for other very good organizations now. Joel Patton started out as, you know, as like a regional scout with Washington. They used to have a pretty good...
San Francisco.
Yeah, he's the chief of scouting for the San Francisco 49ers, who seem to draft pretty good guys now. I mean, basically, Snyder ran everybody off. You know, when he first got to D.C., he fired everybody. You knew that. He fired everybody in the front office. You know, he brought in all of his own people.
Including the secretaries.
Yeah, absolutely. The people that were probably the most loyal employees in the world, he fired them. And listen, you and I both know, if you go into a company, I'm a businessman, okay? And when I go, if I bought a company, or if I, you know, and I only had 10 employees, I would want to keep almost all of them because they know what's going on. You know, I don't know what's going on, but he fires everybody and starts from scratch and thought it would be good. And we dealt with that for a few years. It was horrible. Absolutely horrible. I'm talking to Clark.
Well, that's a Machiavellian approach. That's a Machiavellian approach that sometimes can work. I mean, I think the same thing went on to some respect in some respect with New England. But there's a difference. New England has Tom Brady. If you have Tom Brady, you're going to win. And people say, well, it's the Belichick genius. Maybe. I mean, somebody drafted him, and Bill Belichick is there now, and he's coaching well. But what's Bill Belichick's record without Tom Brady? He's got a losing record, okay? Mm-hmm. So Tom Brady's the secret to success there. So now you get a guy like Scott Pioli, who goes to Kansas City. He tries the same approach. Eric Mangini tried the same approach, too, in Cleveland. And what happened? They're out of jobs as GM and as a head coach. They're not there anymore. And with the Pioli, he did the same thing, went through the entire organization, fired everybody, including the secretaries. And he's gone. Didn't work out. Andy Reid comes back, and he institutes a program that where people are more forgiving, where he rewards loyalty and isn't quite as severe, and he brings in his new coaching staff, and, you know, all of a sudden, they're doing better.
Yeah, he's solid. And I'll tell you another thing about that Kansas City thing you were just talking about. I remember when that was coming down, and if you've ever read Spygate, The Untold Story, I mean, that's all well-documented stuff that's in there. And I got to tell you, one of the things you heard from the Kansas City employees when they were all getting fired is they thought that they were bugged. They were bugged. You know, there's no maybe about it. They were bugged because that's kind of the way this goes. Now, I like Scott Pioli personally. I like to listen to him on the radio. He, you know, Scott gives you a little insight or something, but, you know, he's always going to be that Patriot guy, in my opinion. I'm talking to
Scott's
Clark.
Scott's an interesting guy. I like Scott too, but Scott made some major, major mistakes. And one of the biggest mistakes he made in Kansas City was he walked over good people. He didn't treat them well, and he turned off the fan base. And it's tough to turn off that fan base. That's as loyal a fan base as there is. And he alienated them so much so that at the end of the last season, you saw empty seats at Arrowhead Stadium. That never happened again. You don't see any empty seats there now.
What Dan Snyder's doing in Washington is the same thing, Clark. Only he's doing it's taken longer because our fan base was so loyal that there are still people that give him the benefit of the doubt. However, he turned it into a corporate situation, and most of the people that are there now are not your original Redskin fans. I'm talking to Clark Judge, who, in my opinion, is number one NFL insider anywhere. You can keep some of those other guys. I'll talk to Clark any day. Clark, will you break down a game for us right now? while I've got you on the phone, and it's in your backyard. It's at the stadium in New York, you know, in New Jersey. It's Seattle playing
the Giants.
Yeah, I want to hear what you have to say about this game, because the number is so high. It's 7.5 points. The total's 42. I love Seattle in this game, but you know what? I mean,
it's really a dress rehearsal for the Seahawks for the Super Bowl. I mean, we look at the Seahawks and say, well, they're going to be home for the playoffs. So they're going to be home for the playoffs. How many teams win up there? None. You know, it's a tough place to win. And somebody asked me earlier this week, which teams do you think have a chance, just a chance, of winning up there? New Orleans? No. A dome team going outside, playoffs is not going to win up there. San Francisco? No, because they've gotten torched the last 2 years up there, the end of last season, the beginning of this season. The team I think could have a chance is Philadelphia. I just think it could have a chance. Now, Philadelphia may not even win that division, but they finished the season against Dallas, so we know that they probably will, because Dallas always has a chance to win the NFC East at the end of the year and blows it.
It's
so,
December.
I think Philadelphia's got a chance. But that said, on this game, the line is lower than I expect, because I think people look at it and say it's a travel game, that the Seahawks have trouble, if they have trouble, out of Seattle. They've been very good outside of there this year, much better than the past still. When they lose away from home. You know, where are their two losses? They're away from home. So you look at this game and say, well, what can New York do to solve that defense? And I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
Bruce, I don't know the answer. Eli Manning's playing horribly. He's got as many interceptions as the other guy in New Jersey, and that's the Jets quarterback.
Now, wait a minute. I got a West Virginia graduate here.
Yeah, but Geno Smith thinks.
Yeah,
I mean, up 1 week, down the next two. But the other thing is that they don't run the ball very well.
Right.
So you can't protect them on the offensive line. You can't protect them in the running game. And they're often playing from behind. That's tailor-made for disaster. He's going to get hit today. I bet he's intercepted. Can you hold Russell Wilson? They don't have a pass rush. JPP's not playing.
Yeah.
So you got Justin Tuck, and who else? Justin Tuck. I mean, and this back end is not very good. To me, it should be Seattle easy, with one exception. They're not as good on the road there on their home, but that said, they're a heck of a lot better than the Giants.
Yeah, the Giants probably aren't going to get a whole lot of noise in that place anyway, unless they get a lead early, and I just don't see that happening. Clark, have you been outside today? I'm just wondering what the weather's like.
Took my daughter sledding at 8 this morning. it rained last night, so it's actually, it feels warm here. Now it's probably mid to high 30s, I think, is what it's going to be, and that feels warm here. There's no precipitation there. It's going to be a nice day. There's not much wind. So that really works, I think, probably in Seattle's favor.
Right.
But nevertheless, as I said, they're in an unfamiliar surrounding, but they can use this as a dress rehearsal for the Super Bowl, because they probably will be there. Mm-hmm. They should be there, and so they can look at this and say, okay, let's get used to it, because we're coming back in 2 months. Well, maybe not, but I think it's a good test for them.
Clark, can you hang on for one more segment? We'll go over a couple more games. All right, great. We'll be back in a minute with Clark Judge on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're on the phone with Clark Judge. Clark, thanks for hanging around. This is going to be good. We're going to run through some games. This is where we have the most fun. We've just decided that Seattle is going to cover. And by the way, Clark, you just drove the line up to 8 in Vegas. It just went from 7.5 to 8 in front of my eyes. The Bears play the Browns. You know, I personally understand the Jay Cutler thing. I understand that side of it, but I don't take a hot guy out. I love McCown. What he did in the snow and that freezing cold last week was, I haven't seen a better performance in that kind of weather in a long time. That's why I'm afraid of this game. I mean, I would normally want, if McCown was playing, I'd take the Bears. But it's a pick game. Who do you like in that game?
Well, I like the Bears because they're a better team, but honestly, I think it's a trap game, Bruce. I'm worried about this game. I think Cleveland can beat them, and it wouldn't shock me if they did, because they're home. They played teams tough. They should have beaten New England last week. They should have won some games this year.
I can't believe they lost
that game.
Game
the week before.
Did you see the call?
Well,
that was a horrible call. Horrible call.
It was a horrible call. Nevertheless, had that call not been made, you got Tom Brady on the other side. He's going to take him in the end zone anyway. They never should have let them get the onside kick. And the only way they did was they jumped at the ball. But anyway, that's another matter.
You
that's
know what? You're right. You're right. That was perfectly played.
Yeah. This game would scare me if I'm Chicago for exactly the same reason you said. I wouldn't have taken McCown out either. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't take the sacks. Cutler does. We don't know what Cutler is going to be like today. He's coming back after several weeks away, over a month away. And you look at now, you're taking McCown and sitting him down. And this team, I think, is starting to look at McCown going, you know what? Maybe we got something here. And now they're going back to Cutler, who's been up and down, does make the mistakes, does take the sacks. Yeah, he's a better quarterback in terms of ability, but he makes the mistakes that'll kill you. And you can't do that against this team today. If they're going to lose, I'm talking about Chicago, they're going to lose because the quarterback doesn't play well. We just sat down the hot hand, and I'm going to tell you why I think this decision was made. Cutler doesn't have a contract. Yeah. He becomes a free agent at the end of the year. People go, he'll never become a free agent.
Right.
Franchise him, right? Probably, or they'll come to some kind of settlement, something like that. But they don't know whether that's going to happen or not. Well, if he's the guy you think he is, if he's the special quarterback you think he is, then he better win these next three games. You put him in there because this is where he excels. This is where a guy like Aaron Rodgers comes back and he wins.
This is
where a guy like Tom Brady, if he were down, would come back and he wins. Well, if Cutler is a franchise quarterback, yeah, he should win. So they're going to find out something about this game, and maybe the season is sacrificed, but they're going to look at a bigger picture, and that's what is the big dilemma there, which is what do we do next with this guy? And now we're going to find out. If he doesn't do anything the next three games, you learn something about him. He can't take you to the next level. He just can't.
No,
we have to look for somebody else. Maybe McCown, even though McCown's a journeyman, he may be better for this system than Cutler.
No, I agree, and he looked like it the other night. I'm going to skip the next game. Let's go to the Patriots-Dolphins. It's the best game on. I think it's the best game of the day. The Patriots are coming off that win you talked about in with Cleveland, and they're in Miami now. The one thing I like about Miami, Clark, is – you know, even with all the dysfunction that they had going on with the bullying and all of that stuff with, you know, their offensive line and stuff, he's figuring out a way to win. They're minus three. They're 3-point favorites over the Patriots. Now, the Patriots lost Gronk. That's huge. I mean, that's...
Yeah, that line has gone up. It was pick'em on Friday, and now people are falling in love with the Dolphins for good reason. They're home. They can see the playoffs in sight. If they get past this game, they got
it's
a couple of
sticks
left. I mean,
yeah.
they should be able to circle the bases. But this is a big game for them. And you look at New England. What do we know about New England besides the fact that they've got the best quarterback out there and they always seem to win? Well, in December they're almost unbeatable. They're 47-6 since 2001. But three of those losses have been to Miami. So I think people say this might be the time because New England's teetering. The last 3 weeks they've had to overcome double-digit victories. They just lost Gronk. How much longer can you play from behind and succeed? And you can't. You can't win that way. And now they just lost their best receiver. And so what happens here? Maybe what happens and what the experts, the odds makers are telling you is what's happened, what's going to happen is they're going to lose. I don't know that, but I think this is another trap game. New England could win could get the home field advantage if they win their next three. But again, they've got Baltimore next week, and Baltimore, that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
But this game, I think, will tell you a lot about what we're going to see in the Patriots in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Dolphins minus the three. I've had that game circled for 3 weeks now. And I'm going to tell you, he's doing a great job down there. I don't know how he's doing it. When he talks, he looks so goofy. It's almost hard to take him seriously, but he's done a great job there. Matthew, let's go to the next game. The Eagles are giving up 6 points in Minnesota. Now, the top two, Gerhardt's not playing, Adrian Peterson's not playing. There's two guys running the football up there that I don't even know who they are. The Eagles,
it doesn't even matter. And Joe Bernard.
Yeah. Let me just tell you, Philadelphia has been a great road team. Now, the only thing that makes me feel really good about them on the road is – being in Philly and being from Oregon, Chip Kelly's not from Oregon, but having been in Oregon so long, and then all of a sudden the culture shock of being in Philly, he probably hates being home, because if he doesn't win, he's going to, even when you win, you get stuff thrown at you, The thing of it is that the Vikings are just done as far as I can see.
Yeah.
Don't you think they are? Because they've got a quarterback problem. They've got, they got defensive problems, and they really have a running back problem when they don't have Adrian Peterson. Can the Eagles cover a 6-point line, Clark?
Easy. Yeah, I think the Eagles win this one going away. I don't care who's playing on the other side. The Eagles are really going to have to screw up, and what we know about Nick Foles is he doesn't make mistakes. This team doesn't make mistakes with him at quarterback. So if Michael Vick were in there, I'd say there's a chance. No, it's not going to happen. Eagles win big.
I love that. Okay, the Jets. That's in your backyard, too. They're in Carolina. This is kind of, you know, for Carolina, in my opinion, this game says a lot for them because the Jets can be very tough. They've got a good defense. Carolina's got a good defense, but they got exposed last week. You know, they couldn't cover anybody. However, they'll be able to cover the Jets receivers, and I don't think everybody's healthy anyway. I like Carolina minus 10 at home because, in my opinion, this is Cam basically saying to Geno, hey, watch this. What do you think?
Yeah, I love Carolina. I love Carolina in this game for this reason. Yeah, they got exposed last week. That was Drew Brees. This is Geno Smith. Okay, and what do we know about Geno Smith?
He
never has two good games in a row.
Yep.
Never. And his last three road games, no touchdowns, seven interceptions, all losses. Give me Carolina big.
I love it. I like him too. And by the way, you got me a song over there, Matthew? That's my straight cash homie play of the day, Carolina Panthers. Roy, did you ever pick one?
Yeah, I got Chicago.
Oh, you took the Bears, Matthew.
Didn't.
At least he picked it before they played the game.
What's the line?
The Bears, last time I saw it, was a pick.
Yeah, it's a pick. It's a pick.
Boy, that's dicey. That game makes me nervous.
You know
that
what? If you held a gun to my head, I wouldn't take Chicago because I don't trust Cutler. But here's the problem. If Cutler goes down, they're going to bring McCown in, and he could bring back the win for him.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Cutler's playing for a job.
I mean, there's
no reason why the Bears really need to bring it back next year. And everything that I've heard, and you can correct me on this if I'm wrong, is that there's a bunch of teams out there who are looking to make plays on Cutler. One of them is rumored to be the Tennessee Titans. I mean, is there any truth to that? Is there a market for Jay Cutler after the Chicago Bears?
Oh, absolutely. Sure, because this guy's got enormous physical skills. He's got great ability. He's not a great quarterback. He's a pretty good quarterback, but he's a guy who's got tremendous physical talent. Now, he's not a real likable guy, and to me, he's really deficient in the leadership skills. That said, he did take this team to a conference championship game, at which point he bowed out at halftime because he was hurt. But I look at this team with McCown, and I think McCown doesn't have the ability, yet he gives them something that Cutler's missing. And it's that intangible. I think guys look at him and go, well, we want to play for this guy. I mean, look at him. He's running around. He's making plays. We want to play for this guy. And I think he fits into that system. Cutler's bought into the system, but he's up and down. He's making mistakes. And that ability is just – it's so difficult to find that there will be a line out the door for Jay Cutler. If he doesn't come back with the Bears – people line up to try to sign this guy. But will they win? That's another matter.
You know, he went to Vanderbilt, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, sure he did.
Did he go to class? I mean, to me, he looks like the last Vanderbilt graduate. If you lined up 50 guys, he would be in the last five I would pick that would have gone to Vanderbilt. He just doesn't seem that bright, but I might just be wrong. Let's go to the next game.
You got to be a bright student to get into Vanderbilt. That's a tough place. That's a good
school. Oh, it's incredible.
Along.
Shoot, my daughter lives in Nashville. I mean, they only have 4,000 students. I mean, it's, you know, 4,800 students or something like that. It's just like going to Duke, you know, to be honest with you, or Rice.
No, that's right. That's right.
One of those teams. Let's go to the next game. You know, Clark, maybe you have a better grip on the Oakland Raiders, but I just don't know what's going on. You know, it seemed like Terrell Pryor was their guy, and they were playing pretty well, and their defense was looking better. Then I played them released them one weekend, and they got slaughtered at home. Now the Chiefs go in there. Now the Chiefs are coming off of basically playing a JV team in the Washington Redskin defense. And they're going into Oakland. Is this going to be just as bad in Oakland? I mean, this is a pretty big rivalry. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it is a big rivalry, but Kansas City is a far better team. Kansas City is playing for something. Oakland's not. Oakland can't figure out its quarterback situation. Mm-hmm. I thought when they made the switch from Pryor to McGloin, I thought they actually made the right move. And I think this kid's showing you something. And then when they sat him down in the first half last week against the Jets, brought Pryor back in and went, they have no clue and obviously no faith in this kid. So they're going to draft a quarterback and get both these guys out the door. So I look at Oakland, and they're a mess right now. The last 10 years.
Yeah, the last 10
they
years.
Can't figure out which way to go. And they're just simply counting down the days to the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Kansas City does have a purpose. I mean, Kansas City's playing for something here. They're trying to drive arrived at the playoffs. And honestly, I think the Chiefs win and probably pretty easily here. I think they have a history of success in Oakland. To the best of my recollection, they've won a lot of games there recently. So, geez, a lot of people in that division won a lot of games there recently. Okay, but
even the Redskins, I think.
Again, I don't know what the line is.
It's the Kansas City. Kansas City's 5-point favorite. I think they can cover that. Yeah, I do. I do.
So do I. I think they'll take it.
You know, Kansas City too, Clark. If you look at their schedule, they're not going to play the last game hard. They're probably going to start their starters, get them out, because they are going to be the number one, you know, wild card team in the playoffs. They're pretty much going to have that solidified. The last game we'll talk about, and we'll talk about the Steeler game too. We've got a couple of minutes left, I think, here. Green Bay Packers are at the Dallas Cowboys. Two defenses that aren't really doing much of a job anywhere. Green Bay, you know, is without Aaron Rodgers. They're crazy if they play him one down the rest of the season, in my opinion. Dallas has got to win this game. They're a 4.5-point favorite. The total to me is the play. It's 49.5 points because neither team tackles that well. How do you feel about this game?
Yeah, no, you're right. Well, I'll take the offense. The defenses stink on both sides.
Yeah, they do.
You know, you look at that Dallas team, and someone said to me this week, boy, I've never seen a defense worse than that Chicago game. I said, did you watch the New Orleans game? The Saints put up 40 first downs against these guys. These guys have holes the
NFL
size
record.
Of Houston. I mean, yeah, they're awful defensively. That said, Green Bay is not any good either. I mean, the only win that Green Bay gotten without Aaron Rodgers was against Atlanta last week, and Atlanta's mailed it in, and Green Bay had to struggle to beat them at home. So I look at this game and think the Cowboys will win it because they're better. They got Tony Romo. Who do you want, Tony Romo or Matt Flynn? Well, I don't want Tony Romo this month, but against Matt Flynn, yeah, I think he can win this game. So I think Dallas wins at home. 4.5 to me is, you know, that's probably pretty low because it was up to 7 earlier this week. It's come down, people feeling less secure. But I thought if Rodgers played, Green Bay would win it. I really did because he would shred that defense. But Rodgers isn't playing. Doesn't look like he's going to play again. So I don't give Green Bay a ghost of a chance down there with Matt Flynn.
Thank you very much. Clark Judge, ladies and gentlemen, greatest NFL insider I know. Clark, we're going to have you on probably in the next couple of weeks, at least once, maybe twice, if it's okay with you. I always love talking to you. You always get the scoop with you. And, you know, being in New York, it's just like being in D.C. You have a great day, and stay out of the ice and snow, would you, buddy?
Will do, Bruce. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for coming on. Clark Judge, one of the top NFL insiders you'll ever listen to on the radio. You can still go to @ClarkJudge, CBS. He's on Twitter. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, #BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Final stretch here. We're going to have Tony Mazur on.
Somebody's on the
talk
phone.
About the great, somebody's the great
on
Cleveland the Browns. Tony Mazur, how we doing, buddy?
Tony.
What's going on, guys?
Doing great, Tony. How are you doing? Are you going Are you going to the game today?
No, a game. No, God, no.
Is it snowing?
Oh, it is, yeah. It's been basically more or less a blizzard the last 3 or 4 days here.
Is that right? How many do you have a foot of snow?
It melts. Because it got up to about 32. It started melting, and then all of a sudden, like, the roads are really sloshy. And it's just brutal out there.
It's just a beautiful Cleveland day.
Tony, are you going to the game? God, no, I'm not going to the game. Tony Mazur with Yahoo Sports on the line with us to talk a little bit about Cleveland. And you got to give us your pick of the – give us your pick first. Who's your pick of the week, Tony? And if you got more than one, go ahead. Try us.
I got the one pick. I got San Francisco over Tampa Bay. And
okay.
It's only -4. And they're at the point where Tampa Bay needs to take a look at the draft position than they do winning games. because it's going to do nothing. Greg Schiano is basically has one foot out the door anyways.
Yeah.
And if you're Tampa Bay, you're going to, you know, somebody's going to come down and say, guys, don't play too hard. And of course, San Francisco wants to continue going for that, trying to get the top seed in it, or at least a high seed in the NFC. So I feel that minus four should just, I mean, they should blow through that easily.
Yeah, they have to win because you know, San Francisco is going to be a wild card. I mean, that's a given. Seattle's probably going to beat up on the Giants today, so they're still going to be way out in front. And if San Francisco loses their fifth game, they're just like anybody else.
Were they 8-4?
Yeah. No, they're 8-4. If they go 8-5, no. They're 9-4. They'd be 9-5.
Right, of course.
Yeah, there's three games left. Hey, right. Tony, let me ask you this. Cleveland Browns, we saved it, kind of. Chicago and Cleveland, I mean, listen, that's a backyard brawl. Cutler's starting. You know he's going to go down, get hurt, pull a hamstring, pull his groin, hit his hand on somebody's helmet, and then they're going to bring McCown in, and he's going to probably drive him 95 yards for a score to beat the Browns at the end of the game, right?
Well, that's what it sounds like. Trestman completely mishandled that. I mean, obviously not as bad as what's going on in Washington, but still.
It's coming full circle.
How does that look? How does that look to somebody from the Midwest? Does it look as goofy as it does from right here in their backyard?
Well, absolutely it does. And one of the things, because the Browns and a couple other teams were one of those that thought, hey, let's get Robert Griffin III, let's put together this package. Now, the only person that's happy in this is executives from the St. Louis Rams because they got all these picks for RG3. And it is a complete – and then not only is it that he's not playing, he's not even going to dress the rest of the year. And let's just say Kirk Cousins goes down with an injury. They need a backup quarterback for Rex Grossman.
Well, we got one. It's Pat White. Pat White from West Virginia. They're signing him off he's already on the practice squad.
Is he on it?
Yeah,
they were hitting at him. He re-signed.
Yeah, they're going to bring Pat White back. Then they're going to run the same offense just backwards because he's left-handed.
He's the hook.
Only if they bring Steve Slayton in, then it'll be a nice homecoming.
Absolutely. I mean, if we could just get some of their better players, just as long as Geno Smith doesn't show up here. Let me ask you this. What are you hearing from you know the media and the fan base in Cleveland right now? Is everybody kind of happy? I mean, they got to be a little happy because Josh Gordon has lit it up. This guy is 22 years old, and he set an NFL record, right, for four games in total yardage as a receiver.
For Browns fans and media, it's kind of a win-win situation. You're looking at a team that if they lose, then, if they win the game, hey, they won. But if they lose, it's like, well, we can get a better draft pick. And which, by the way, if they, and I tweeted this out, if they lose today, the Browns in 15 seasons since they've come back and becoming an expansion team, this will be their 12th season by having double-digit losses. 12th.
Well, you got to be
12 of 15.
You got to be proud of something. I'd be proud of that. You know, I mean, I don't even own an NFL team. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm talking to Tony Mazur, one of our favorite guys who calls in most every Sunday. Yahoo Sports, you can hear him. Tony, tell them how they can hear you. What's the name of the show?
It's called The Sports Hub with my co-host John Kufo, and we do it every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can find our podcast in the Podcast Center on Yahoo Sports Radio, the Podcast One, and iTunes. And check it out. I think we're going to actually talk some basketball this week because there's really no bowl games, and we're starting to get to that kind of lame point in the season, or at least where we are in the NFL season. So we get to talk some basketball. That sounds great.
You know, I was listening to somebody. I can't even remember who it was, but it was like a top 20 or 30 anchor, like on either ESPN or somewhere. And basically, they started to talk about basketball, and he goes, "I don't care about basketball or hockey. As far as I'm concerned, what they should do is sell tickets for $10 a piece and just sell concessions and leave the doors open until the playoffs." I thought that was pretty cool. Hey, let me ask you this: is there another game that you like a little bit out there? How do you feel about this Redskin Atlanta game? I mean, this is a huge game. This has incredible implications for the St. Louis Rams draft. Next year.
That, that and what in the future Kirk Cousins is. Kirk Cousins, because there is, as we talked about, Bruce, Roy, there is a quarterback problem in this league, and Kirk Cousins can get a payday if he plays well. If he pulls a Matt Flynn in the last couple of weeks here, he's going to get a hefty payday somewhere.
Hey, Mike.
I don't know what his contract situation is like, but if he goes elsewhere, if he's a free agent or something, then he's going to get paid. If not, if you're Washington, and especially with Shanahan, apparently the reports that I saw were he's going to be even more in control if he's mm-hmm. not getting fired, then they're going to probably look to get, you know, try to acquire some picks for him. I would not doubt that. So this is really all up to Kirk Cousins to step on up here.
Right. A tweet that just got sent out by Mike Freeman.
Mike Freeman's a good dude, by the way. I love him.
He says that he received a text from a Washington Redskins player, of course, unnamed, that says 95% of the players agree with the decision to go with Cousins. And I also saw tweets earlier today about exactly what you're talking about now, about how Shanahan and Snyder are going to sit down at the end of the season and come to some sort of a decision about next season. Shanahan saying that he wants to return, and of course the all reports pointing to Snyder not giving up the $7 million. Now, obviously, you're in Cleveland where you have your own problems to go with, but the Cousins decision. I mean, are you a fan of this of playing Kirk Cousins these final three games?
They should have played him from the beginning. He should
absolutely
not have,
absolutely,
because anybody, and you know what the problem is, Adrian Peterson set this bad standard because he's a superhuman, he's a freak athlete where no one recovers from an ACL injury like that. Derrick Rose, how long did it take? Derrick Rose is out again. And what happens is, obviously, when you tear your ACL, you're putting a lot more work into the other leg, and that's where the meniscus problem happened in the other knee, where he's trying to overcompensate for the injured one, and it just doesn't happen. The ACLs doesn't heal in 6 months, and Griffin should not have played in that playoff game last year against Seattle. And then he comes in there, and oh, I'm ready for training camp. I'm ready to play. And he comes out, and he's looked awful this year. I think Robert Griffin III is he can be a very good pocket passer, very Randall Cunningham-like. But his teammates don't believe in him. How many times has he been knocked to the turf, and nobody on his team helps him up?
Well, you know what? They made a lot out of that. And that kind of, if you watch most teams, nobody helps the quarterback up. They kind of get up on their own pretty much. A lot of times the guy on the other team will let them up because they're trying to buy some goody points in case they, you know, go helmet to helmet with them later. Maybe the referee will look the other way. But you hit it right on the head, Tony. He didn't take a snap in the preseason, so he used the first three or four games of our regular season in Washington as preseason games. Mm-hmm. As soon as I saw how bad he was in the first half of the first game, I'd had him on the bench, and I'd had Cousins in there. And that's Shanahan's fault. Now, I think there was so much pressure to leave him in there and have him play because he, you know, it was a PR thing.
Well, that, and you're coming off a 10-6 season. We just
and Shanahan's trying to follow it up. But as soon as it's just sick stuff.
You also don't want the spokesperson for Subway Subs on the bench.
Oh, Subway Subs.
Avocado Sub just came out.
Tony, what do you got going on? I see that you're giving up one of your gigs in Cleveland, aren't you?
Well, I got I'm doing my podcast thing, and I do a little part time work. I saw Brian Billick was here yesterday, but I do a little little tour guide stuff at the Christmas Story House.
Good for you.
Here in Cleveland.
That's what Rick Snyder does. Yep.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. It's cool talking to different people. We've seen, like I said, Brian Billick has actually shot something for Fox here at the Christmas Story House, and Cleveland is kind of. They're trying to get back on the map of some sort with this this whole Rust Belt thing. So I do a little bit of that, and I'm working on some other things that I'll announce shortly, but just waiting for everything to come about. But in the meantime, just watching Josh Gordon basically do everything.
He is a stud.
What's up? You said you were going to talk about basketball in your next show. So tell me about Kyrie Irving and if he is if he's shipping out. Is he going to be a Cavalier?
Well, I'll tell you this quickly. Kyrie Irving and Deion Waiters both play the same position.
Roy just set you up. He asked you a question and didn't look at Matt. We gotta go, Tony. Hey, listen, do me a favor though. Give me a buzz this week, would you?
Yeah.
And let's get together soon. I'm going to New York, but I'm also going to go to the Midwest. We'll be back.
In Cleveland.
Hey, Tony Mazur, Yahoo Sports. This is Bruce Hall for Roy Edwards and Matthew Lynch. See you next week on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.